I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Let me introduce you to Matthew Tueller. He's a career diplomat who knows the Middle East. He's held posts in Egypt, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. And in 2014, he took over as U.S. ambassador to Yemen. And he's watched that country slip into a civil war that's now what the U.N. calls the worst humanitarian crisis on Earth. Matthew Tueller, thanks very much for being here. Ambassador, you're more than 7,000 miles from home. The country you're ambassador to is at war, really with itself, and there's not much focus in Washington on the problems you deal with every day. What is it like just being the ambassador to Yemen right now?
Well, thank you, Marco. It's a pleasure to talk with you. There are obviously a lot of hardships associated with an assignment to a place like Yemen, and those are compounded because after almost 1 year in the country, we had to close down our embassy and move the core embassy staff away, primarily in Saudi Arabia, where we continue to try to engage. I don't feel like I lack support from Washington, certainly. I think that during the time that I have continued to engage in this, Yemen has been a primary concern for a lot of the policymakers, both in the State Department, in the Department of Defense, the White House. And that's because to the United States, Yemen is an important country.
Now, you say you've got support in Washington, even as the State Department suffers from many vacancies the Trump administration hasn't filled?
Well, transitions, of course, are always periods of time where it's difficult, and there are indeed a number of positions in the State Department that aren't filled. But I deal on a daily basis with colleagues in Washington, both in the State Department, in DOD, who are very supportive, off whom I can bounce ideas. And that has continued into this new administration. I would say that it's interesting that Secretary Tillerson actually has some experience in Yemen, lived in the country as a private sector employee of ExxonMobil. And so I sense that he has quite a bit of interest and, of course, brings some knowledge from time on the ground and perspective as a private sector energy company employee who had to deal with what has always been a difficult place for both government and private sector officials to operate.
And yet there seems to be a lot of distance between Tillerson and the rest of the White House. Are you concerned that Yemen is suffering from just a lack of attention to world affairs right now in Washington?
Well, I'd certainly hate to think that we are somehow not doing all we can to try to address what really is, as you said, a humanitarian crisis, but also a conflict that has the potential to grow. And I hope even now as we speak that some of the efforts that we as the U.S. are trying to engage in will put us in a leadership role, not only of trying to bring Yemenis into a place where they can start to work to resolve their differences, but also to bring some of the regional actors who obviously have interest at stake in Yemen also into a position where we can move towards what just about everybody that I speak with believes, that there is no prospect of one side or the other coming out of this with a military victory. Really, this can only end if the parties agree to a series of sequence compromises to lead back to a peaceful transition that will get Yemen back where governance is restored in the country.
Ambassador, I would imagine Yemen is a Foreign Service hardship post these days.
Yes, it's always been a hardship post, and yet myself and I believe all of my colleagues who have served before me really have a great deal of admiration for the Yemeni people. And I think it's true of many people who have lived in Yemen, are enchanted by the place. Anything that I do here, I don't do alone. I've got a committed team. We have had to, of course, downsize considerably from what is a full embassy that we had in Sana'a. So we have really what we like to think of as a small, committed, expeditionary team, the core of that in Jeddah, but we have elements also that operate here in Amman, in Abu Dhabi, in Djibouti, so that we can cover all of the various economic security and political issues at stake for the U.S. And what we largely are doing is engaging with all of the elements of Yemeni society that are in exile or those who are in the country, and we devise unique and creative means in order to stay in contact with allies and contacts and even some of our former employees inside Yemen. And then, of course, we also engage regularly with the governments of the Arab coalition.
You know, even for someone like myself, I read Yemen news pretty regularly. This is a complicated mess. When someone asks you to explain what's going on in Yemen, maybe an acquaintance who doesn't follow the Middle East, what do you say? And these days, do you cast it as a humanitarian thing or a battle that continues to grow?
Well, I sometimes tell people, if they have a passing familiarity with the Middle East, that a lot of the factors that cause instability in the Middle East exist in sort of orders of magnitude in Yemen. Poverty, corruption, weak institutions of governance, the sectarian issues. All of these factors, including the tribal nature of Yemeni society, means that there is very little grounds that has developed for trust amongst all of the people, who therefore fear that if one side gains power, they will use that power to exclude everybody else and to reward their own group. This is a civil war. This is Yemenis fighting against Yemenis. And until we have some mechanism to get the Yemenis to step back and make political compromises, the conflict is going to go on.
Why is it beyond the ability of the U.S. to insist on a ceasefire?
Well, we simply don't have leverage over the groups that are actually fighting on the ground.
Why don't we? We've spent $110 billion on weapons in this war.
Well, you seem to be referring to the involvement of the Saudi-led coalition in the conflict, and we certainly are a major partner in Saudi Arabia in security. We provide weapons. But the conflict in Yemen is not a conflict between Saudis and Yemenis. It is a conflict between Yemenis. The Saudis have intervened on behalf of the Yemenis, who feel that they have a weaker military position and who want to try to resume the peaceful transition. But we don't have the ability to tell those Yemenis who are involved in what for them is an existential conflict against perennial enemies. And even, say, for hypothetically, if the Saudi coalition were to say, we are going to pause or cease or end our involvement in the conflict, that would not end the conflict. In fact, arguably, it would lead to advances on the part of Houthis that would go deeper now into areas that currently are under control of the legitimate government, and simply would cause more humanitarian suffering, and in the long term would leave Yemen in a very, very vulnerable position.
My conversation with Ambassador Tuller went on from here, but I wanted to get a reality check on one of his key points, this one.
Well, we simply don't have leverage over the groups that are actually fighting on the ground.
Now, not everyone agrees that the U.S. has no leverage in Yemen. We reached out to a Yemen expert at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington. Catherine Zimmerman believes the U.S. can and should do more to move Yemen's warring sides toward peace.
The United States is choosing not to have influence over the warring parties in Yemen. We are constraining ourselves in terms of who we're talking to and how we are engaging with them. Our Yemeni embassy, to start with, is understaffed for the task ahead of it. So we don't have enough people to meet with Yemenis. But beyond that, all of our staff is in Saudi Arabia and doesn't travel around the region to meet with Yemenis that have moved outside of the country. We should be engaging with all parties and understanding what they want.
So the Yemen war and the U.S. role there remain a work in progress.